This is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty. UN investigators have condemned the actions of the military commander of Myanmar, also known as Burma, along with five other generals, for overseeing mass murder and the rape of Muslim Rohingya last year with, quote, genocidal intent, calling for their prosecution. Christopher Sidati is one of those investigators.
We are not removing the presumption of innocence. We are not saying that they individually have been proven to have the necessary intent. But we are saying that given all of the circumstances, all of the inference, all of the facts that we have found, and we have found extensive range of facts, and the tightness of the chain of military command, they should be investigated and prosecuted.
They also took aim at de facto leader Aung San Suu Kyi for failing to use her moral authority to protect civilians. Nicholas Farrelly is our regional analyst at Australian National University.
What we've seen over the past year is that there were great failings, including at the very highest level in the State Councillor's office, and this is going to have very significant consequences. Aung San Suu Kyi's personal reputation was, at least among serious analysts, already shredded by what had happened last year.
Investigators called on the Security Council to impose an arms embargo and criticized the social media network Facebook for allowing the spread of hate speech and inciting violence in Myanmar. Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta was welcomed Monday to the White House by President Donald Trump.
Kenya and the United States have had strong, solid relationships ever since our independence. We are here to renew that partnership. We are here to strengthen it. We've had very good and excellent cooperation, especially in our fight against terrorism.
Both leaders focused on trade, investment, and security. Both have military forces battling jihadists in Somalia. This is VOA News. President Trump Monday said the U.S. and Mexico agreed to alter the 24-year-old North American Free Trade Agreement.
It wasn't from any standpoint something that most people thought was even doable when we started. If you look at it, you remember at the beginning, many people thought that this was something that just couldn't happen because of all of the different factions, all of the different sides, and the complexity. And we made it much simpler, much better for both countries.
Canada will rejoin the negotiations later Tuesday. The U.S. Congress must approve any new agreements. The negotiations have focused largely on trade in autos, dispute settlement, and this deal's sunset clause. Japan says North Korea continues posing a dire threat to its security despite recent diplomatic rapprochement between the Koreas as well as the North and the U.S. Yoichiro Sato is a security expert.
Despite the meeting between Trump and Kim Jong-un and the agreement that came out of it in June, the Japanese government does not see any tangible progress in North Korea's denuclearization.
The Japanese Defense Ministry's so-called white paper also raised strong concerns over China's military buildup and modernization and assertiveness in both the South and East China Seas. Iranian lawyers have asked the International Court of Justice, or World Court, to order the U.S. to lift sanctions. Tehran insists they violate terms of a 1955 bilateral friendship treaty. Mohsen Mohabi is a law advisor to Iran's president.
Mr. President, the case at hand is in fact very simple because the United States is publicly propagating a policy intended to damage as severely as possible Iran's economy and Iranians' nationals and companies, and therefore inevitably Iranian nationals, of course.
U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said the suit is intended to interfere with the sovereign rights of the U.S. to take lawful actions to protect its national security. The defense ministers of Syria and Iran Monday signed an agreement on military cooperation and reconstruction following the seven-year civil war. The U.S. and Israel have demanded Iran leave Syria. Police in Ethiopia arrested the former head of the Eastern Somali region on rights abuse charges and fomenting ethnic unrest. The apprehension of Abdi Mohamed Omar, who resigned his post, came out days after Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed said he would face charges following fighting earlier this month in the regional capital. And Uganda's top court granted bail to more than 30 people, including a pop songwriter turned politician charged with treason over the stoning of a presidential motorcade. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.